Revelation chapter 20. And begin reading in verse 7. We're going to see Satan's rebellion and the great white throne judgment tonight. Would you stand as we read from God's Word? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ryan, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. This morning we talked about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and there's still a lot that we have to learn about that. There's a lot I have to learn about it, but one thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is when we get to the 1,000-year reign of Christ, it is going to be magnificent. As children of God, we're going to enjoy the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a day that will be. But as magnificent as the 1,000-year reign is, we come to a point that at the end of the 1,000-year reign, it's just bad. And as we discuss this, we've come to the close of that 1,000-year reign, and Satan has been bound and chained and in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Imagine, if you will, the worst criminal of all time. I don't know, imagine a Hitler or someone of that nature who had been imprisoned. And if it were possible, he had been imprisoned for 1,000 years with nothing to do but to plot his revenge against God and the kingdom of God and the saints of God. Then you have kind of a picture of where Satan's been for the last 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, sin has been squashed. And now Satan, imagine being a prisoner. The prison door is open. And he burst out. And he has one thing on his mind. And that one thing is, of course, revenge. How will I get my revenge? How will I ascend above God himself? And then there's the world that has not really known the rampant sin for 1,000 years. There's the world who is filled with people who no doubt have become calloused to glory. You know, we talk about glory and what a day that will be and just how awesome it's going to be. You know, one thing about mankind is that we have a tendency to become calloused. For example, the gospel. You know, you think of man being a sinner and his need of salvation. And yet, in the United States of America today, people seem to just thumb their nose at the gospel message. Why? Because they've become callous. And I kind of get that picture here. As Satan is released from the pit. You have people who have lived in the glory of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And his mission, his goal, as he breaks out of his prison or is released from his prison, his goal is to go out. He knows exactly how to do it. He goes out and deceives the nations, it says. And gathers together a massive army that'll be numbered as the sand of the sea. Now, I don't know how many that is, but suffice it to say, the multiple millions of this world will follow him. Millions of lost people. Can you imagine lost people in the 1,000-year reign of Christ? There will be. Where did they come from? Well, as you know, at the end of the tribulation period, there was the judgment of nations. And I believe at that point, there will no lost people enter the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? They face judgment. The lost have been cast into hell, and the saved, but the saved who are still alive at the end of the tribulation will enter into that 1,000-year reign of Christ, along with those of us who have received our glorified bodies. And it's going to be an ideal time. I mean, we're still going to live life in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's still going to be babies born. There's still going to be families. There's still going to be work. And as these generations are born, as we get to the end of the tribulation period, you're going to have a generation of man who still have to make the decision that you and I have to make today of whether to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior or not. And Satan goes out and has been his goal and his activity for generations since the Garden of Eden. He deceives the nations, and multiple millions Multiple millions will follow him. You say, how can that be? I don't know. I can't imagine other than man being calloused to the glory of the rule of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Satan, having nothing to lose, and in his mind everything to gain. You know, Satan, I have to ask myself, how does Satan think he can defeat God? But he does. And he's never lost sight of that goal, to ascend above God. And so he gathers the nations together. And they gather together to go to war, to break this kingdom of righteousness that Jesus Christ has built during his millennial reign. To cast off, as they would look at it, the bonds of righteousness. And they surround the city of Jerusalem, where the saints of God, those who are still alive saints, those in their glorified body saints, and Jesus himself in that holy city of Jerusalem. And Satan and his armies gather around, multiple millions surround that city so as there's no escape and there's no way out. And Satan says, I've got them now. This is it. This is where it ends. And he's right. This is where it ends. Because suddenly, fire rains down from heaven and absolutely consumes this multiple million man army that Satan has gathered. Can you imagine the confidence of man, the confidence of Satan, as they stand surrounding the city saying, we're going to take it. And in the next second, the fire raining down from heaven has absolutely consumed everyone in that army. And Satan now stands alone. God is still God. You know, at the end of this 1,000-year reign, God is still God. And Satan is no match for the power of the creator of this universe. And Satan stands there all alone, Those he has deceived are now just literally toast. And Satan is taken by God and is cast into the lake of fire to join his Antichrist that he had led in the tribulation period, to join the false prophet that he had led in the tribulation period. And now he is locked away in this lake of fire for all of eternity. And it said, verse 10, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I want you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to grab a hold of what the word torment means. If you look it up, that word torment means great pain, suffering, anguish, torture, to vex with grievous pain, to afflict. The idea there is that it's an unbearable pain and that it never, ever ends. And this is how Satan will be finished. That's what he has at all eternity to look forward to. So be careful who you follow. But it's not over yet. Because not only is Satan cast into the lake of fire, we come to the point, the scene immediately goes to a judgment scene. As John sees a great white throne and him who sat on it. You know who's sitting on this great white throne? Jesus Christ himself. We're told in John chapter 5 verse 22 that the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. And now I can't imagine this fearful sight as this great white throne appears. It's so fearful that one can't help but cower away from it. Even earth and heaven itself flee from the face of this great white throne. Now, I want to be honest with you. I have rolled that over in my mind, and I can't get that yet. Okay? How that heaven and earth flee. But I do know this. Heaven, the prince of the power of the air, has stained the heavens with sin. I do know that the earth has been marred by sin. And literally, I believe it literally means what it says. When heaven and earth flee, and there's no place found for it anymore. Because in the next chapter, we're going to study how there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But here's where it gets very serious. Death will give up the bodies of every Christ-rejecting person who ever lived. The sea will give up its dead. Death and Hades, it says, give up its dead. And death, what that's talking about, is a release of the bodies from the grave. You know there's going to be a resurrection of the lost? We talk about the resurrection of the saved. There's going to be a resurrection of the lost. Death relinquishes the bodies that have been placed in the earth. Hell relinquishes the spirits of those who have rejected Christ down through the ages. And the dead, small and great, it says, will stand before this great white throne judgment. I call your attention to that because I want you to understand the dead, small and great. It's talking about those insignificant people as well as those world famous people. There's no one that is so insignificant that they will not have to stand before this judgment if they're lost. And there's no one so great, whether he's the president of the United States or the president of another country, there is no one so great that if he has rejected Jesus Christ, he'll have to stand before this judgment seat of Christ. No one will be exempt. No one will be excused who is lost. Now, I do want to emphasize this is the judgment of the lost. Okay? This is not the judgment of the saved. That was the judgment seat of Christ that we've talked about earlier. But as we go on through this chapter, John saw this great white throne Heaven and earth fled. There was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And here I want you to grab. And books were opened. That sounds serious, doesn't it? Well, it is serious. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. I call your attention, first of all, to the dead were judged. Who were the dead? Christ rejectors. Okay? Remember, of those, the saved, and we read this morning how the second death has no power over them. So these are the Christ rejectors. And they stand before this great white throne, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sitting on that throne. And books begin to be opened. Now, maybe some of this is a little speculative on my part, but I believe one of the books that will be opened will be the Bible, the Word of God, the standard. You see, if there's going to be judgment, there has to be a book of law. There has to be a standard to judge by. And I believe as the Bible is open, that is the standard that man will be judged by when he stands before this great white throne. I also believe another book will be open, and that's the book of the life of the individual that will stand in that judgment. I believe there's a permanent record. I'm sure there's a permanent record that God is keeping of everything that a man does in this life. Now, it says every man will be judged according to his works. Now, the standard's going to be taken, and then that book of life is going to be taken, and your life is going to be measured according to the standard of God. Everything that lost person has ever done, there's a written record, both good and bad. And what they're going to find is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there are a lot of people in the world that hope they're going to heaven because they're not so bad. I've actually been told that, hadn't you? Well, I'm not such a bad person. I've never killed anyone. I'm not a drug addict. I don't steal. Commit adultery. I'm not that bad. Listen, when this standard is open, which is God's holy standard of perfection, and the book of your life is open, what you're going to find is that you fall way short of God's standard of perfection. Okay? And then there's only one hope. And that one hope is the other book that I'm going to tell you about. That Lamb's Book of Life. See, that book is opened at this point. And as that book is opened, your name's going to be searched for. But you know the only names that'll be in that book are the names of the ones who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as that book is opened, there is no hope. Because this judgment is for Christ rejectors. It will just be proof that you refuse the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And as you acknowledge the fact of your sin, and you acknowledge the fact, because listen, there won't be any appeals. Because everything at this judgment will be absolutely 100% correct. Have you ever had anybody falsely accuse you? There won't be any false accusation. Everything will be correct. And as you realize your shortcomings, and then that Lamb's Book of Life is opened, and I'm sorry, your name's not here. You'll hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Oh, but Lord, I wasn't that bad of a person. Permanent heaven's permanent record the Lamb's Book of Life doesn't have your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. But Lord, I did great things. I helped the poor. I was a good person. I tried to be good to my children. I tried to be a responsible husband. Your name's not in the Book of Life. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, this is so vitally important. Okay? You do not want to stand before this judgment. Because I don't care who you think you are. I don't care if you think you're not so bad. You do not meet God's standard of perfection. There's only one hope for all of mankind. That is the Lamb of God who died for the sin of the world. Who was sacrificed for your sake and for mine. And you have the opportunity now in this life to receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you refuse it, I can only imagine people as they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What's the day of the month? What is it? The 12th. Can you imagine? That wasn't a joke. I couldn't remember what day it was. But can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ? I'm sorry, the great white throne judgment. And finding that you don't measure up to God's standard of perfection. And then you come across on February the 12th. God reminds you that you had the opportunity to be saved, but you rejected Christ. Can you imagine every time you rejected Christ, coming to grips with that? February the 12th, January the 15th, December the... And the list goes on, and because of the hardness of your heart and your stubbornness, you say, no, no, no. Until you finally come to this point where you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm sorry, I keep messing the judgments up. Where you stand before the great white throne judgment. And there is no hope. And you will be cast along with Satan, along with the Antichrist, along with the false prophet, into the lake of fire. Because hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire where there will be eternal torment. Now this should do two things. One of two things. If you're a child of God, this should remind you how important our mission on this earth is. We are to take everyone to heaven that we possibly can. And probably all of us know someone who's facing this great white throne judgment. The other thing it should do is if you're lost, it should be a sobering reminder that you will not escape the judgment of God and the eternal torment that's reserved for those who reject Jesus Christ. The only way to escape it is receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, calling upon Him. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation's for you to come and call upon Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us that as your children, we need to be diligent of preaching your word and spreading the gospel message to this world. For Lord, one of these days, Lord, I believe it's soon, that rapture is going to occur. We're going to be in the tribulation. And it'll be too late to work. So Lord, keep us mindful to redeem the time that you've given us and to be faithful servants. Lord, I pray for those in this service who've never made a commitment of salvation to you. Lord, maybe everybody around them, Lord, thinks that they're saved, but they know deep down in their heart that they've never committed their life to you. I pray, Lord, that tonight will be the night that they wholly call upon you for salvation. I pray your will to be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.